many have read about the chakras and kundalini and some such thing. Quite a lot. Chakras are the milestones on the path of kundalini. How many have experienced during meditation sometimes? Some movement along the spine, as if something coming up and down and something like that. No? And this keeps happening often, often. How many feel it keeps happening often? Yeah. This is movement of kundalini. These movements, like the energy impulses we talked in the morning, flowing like that, they are the signs of release of stress and strain. And have you noticed sometimes when you are meditating, breathing becomes much refined and it flows equally with both the nostrils? Otherwise, generally it flows either from the left or from the right. But during meditation, when it becomes very refined, it flows from both. How many have noticed? When the breath flows from both, then it is called sushumna. There is a very fine, fine hole deep inside the spinal column. Very fine, much thinner than the width of the hair, maybe 1/100th of the width of the hair. Such fine spine. And when the nervous system becomes freer from stress and strain, of which we talked in the morning, deep-rooted stresses, very fine, this is the spinal column, and at the end of the spine is the kundalini. Kundalini is the symbol of life force that is present in each living being. State of consciousness. state of consciousness depends on how much this Kundalini is awake. It's said to be on this end of this, and this column is said to be Sushumna. And as the body becomes purer and purer, this germ of life, it's like a serpent. It becomes awake. See, in all the creatures, the small insects and birds and animals and man and angels and in every living being, this germ of life is present.
A member of the audience posed the question that sometimes when he meditates, a very powerful pushing force comes into him at the base of his spine, and it causes him to shake, and it becomes so intense that he can't say his mantra.
The sensation at the base of spine is too much, and that's a distraction, difficult to take the mantra. At such time, we just feel that sensation. There is nothing that we can do about it except feeling the sensation. And these sensations are just the neutralizing of the stresses that are there in this area. And as the stresses become unwind, all those movements will stop, and then you start the mantra. At any time along the spine, you may feel as if quite a lot of ants are crawling up and down, or some such thing, some movement of energy, or move some, it's a physical. You feel it, up and down movement. These are the movements of this germ of life, Kundalini. It becomes awake. And, yeah?
The questioner came forward once more and stated, "It's not a movement. It's a pressure, a very strong and intense and increasing pressure."
Pressure, huh? In this case, it's the pressure. Movement will be like that. It's up and down and up and down. Maybe pressure any time, pressure. This pressure is again that some movement again, you know? It may not be felt as a movement. It may be felt as a constant pressure in some one particular area. But that again is due to the same thing of release of stresses. When this whole area is free from stresses, then it won't have that pressure in this. So what happens is, this very fine path of air is blocked. Maybe some blocked here, maybe some blocked here, maybe something blocked. Inside, if it is blocked, then in our system of meditation, when the mantra becomes very fine, very fine, very fine, breathing becomes very fine. And when the breathing becomes very, very fine, then the breath permeate the whole system. Absolutely very fine breath. It is able to pierce through the whole body. And then the air starts passing from this very fine hole, very fine passage. And when the air passes from here, then if there is a block here, then the pressure is created here. And due to that pressure, the body may rock this way or that way. The whole body may even do like that. So all this is just due to the air pressing through this fine hole and finding its way up. Movements, any kind of movement may happen here or there. And along this path, there are certain chakras, what they call it, too. Centers, one here, and each center is like that. Maybe two petaled rose, or four petaled rose, like that, or six or eight or 12, like that. And when this kundalini, this germ of life, travels from here through this, and the passage is clear, then each of these become upward like that. They turn over. And this turnover means the passage is clear now. And by the time all these six chakras open up, then the whole passage is clear. And the kundalini then comes here, resides here. And this gives clearer experience of being. Very clear, pure consciousness. And that is called enlightenment, that pure awareness or pure consciousness fills the whole thing. So there is a system of practice which is called Laya Yoga. Laya means absorption. The kundalini finds its absorption in all these centers, here and here and here and here, and eventually here on the cortex, 1,000 petaled rose, 1,000 petaled lotus. And when, by the time kundalini comes here, everything, the whole thing, becomes full of light. Full of light means full of awareness. That pure light means not this light, but the pure being. And when this whole area becomes aware of being clearly, then it is cosmic consciousness, that the being is never lost, irrespective of our engagements during the day or restfulness in the night. It remains permanent. And this is what is called the state of enlightenment. State of enlightenment. So as kundalini becomes more and more awake, the soul keeps on coming to higher and higher species. Coming to man's species, it becomes it comes to a level of wakefulness that it can rise up, and it has then this whole path to bring it to this region where being will be permanently established in the very nature of the mind. The whole area of nervous system becomes enlightened.
The question came from the audience. Do you know when you have it?
See? You feel the up and down march of this. Sometimes it goes up and then down and up and down. And when the whole thing is clear and the whole nervous system is completely free from stresses and strains, then it never returns. It gets there and gets absorbed. So you experience the up and down march of this thing, and you experience when it is permanently established in the whole nervous system. You experience when the mantra becomes finer and finer and finer, and then mind transcends and get to that pure awareness. It's an experience. How many have that pure awareness very clearly during meditation? Yes, sometimes. And that sometimes and sometimes and sometimes and all time. It is to become an all-time reality. So understanding on the intellectual level and feeling on the level of the heart, both together bring fulfillment, contentment, freedom from doubts. Gita is very clear about this. It says, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, that is, knowing and experiencing both bring eternal contentment. Because the craving of the heart should be satisfied and the inquiry of the mind should be satisfied. If any of the two remain unsatisfied, then eternal contentment will not dawn, and the experience of fulfillment of life will not be gained. So for fulfillment, knowledge and experience both are necessary. No?
If we originally, or we are rather, if we're not aware of it, we put consciousness and put consciousness is so much more beautiful than the realm you feel. It seems to me that it would take a long time for us to become unaware of our bliss consciousness. Am I clear on that? Because it doesn't seem that I am myself. But what I'm saying, it seems like that it's taken more than 20 years or 25 years or 27 years, whatever I am, for this to happen.
It was there from the beginning that we were not aware of it.
We never were.
Yes.
We We never were aware of the bliss that we were in.
Yeah.
And that's the reason for the manifestation.
Yeah.
To become aware of it.
To become aware of it. See, we enjoy the glory of the house, but we don't bother about the foundation of it, because it is out of sight. It is out of sight. It is in the transcendental area. That is why we don't know about it. And if we want to know about it, then we have to take our attention to that level, and then we know what is the depth of the foundation, from the ordinary thinking level to the source of thought, the foundation of the whole life of activity. Creation was the act of mercy, and mercy was the nature of God. That means the creation came out of God's nature. And the merciful, where is the merciful nature of God found in man's life? How do you know God has been merciful in creating man? God has created eternal bliss in the innermost area of man's personality, in the innermost region of man. He has filled that infinite happiness, infinite energy, infinite intelligence. In the outer aspect of man's personality, he has created the desire to go that way, the desire to go to more happiness, more energy, more intelligence, this nature of the outside life to flow in the direction of more and more and more and more. This is the nature. So man's outer nature is to go towards man's inner nature, which is bliss. These are the two things. The innermost nature of man is all bliss. Outer nature of man is in search of happiness. And these two things can make the life integrated. And this is the expression of God's mercy. He has done these two things in man: ability to get to the infinite, and the infinite lying inside everyone. From this we know that God has been merciful in creating man. Yes?
They both reach the state of absoluteness, which has the connotation of being one. Why wouldn't they both be the same thing? How could they be
infinite? When the mind is in that state of infinity, then both are in transcendental area. Then the nervous system of both is in that restful alertness. Both are alike. But when they come out into the world, they gain their individuality. And each individuality is separate from the other. If they lose their body, then both have lost their body, and both are established in the infinity. Then they are alike. But when they come to the body, then they behave as different individuals. Now, if both of them are behaving in the world, fully infused with that infinity, that means both have gained cosmic consciousness, then what will be the difference between the two? There is one factor which is common in both, and that is permanent establishment of being. Both are established permanently in pure consciousness or bliss consciousness. This is a common factor. What is uncommon between the two is that their individuality, this individuality is different from this individuality. In their relative life, they differ from one another. In their inner being, they are the same. So, in the state of freedom, both are alike. Freedom is common to them. None of them is bound anymore. But the actions will be different, because they have their own individual nature. That means, even if we find them behaving differently, we can conceive of their being cosmically conscious. That means, not from their manner of behavior or from their ideas and tastes, we will decide whether they are cosmic consciousness or not. It is the inner awareness which alone will decide that they are. And this cannot be decided by anybody else. They know that they are that universal awareness. One experiences that, but from outside, looking to the actions, it's very difficult to say whether he is bound in the action or he is free from what he is doing. Kitchen may be suffering now. We are meeting at what time? At 8:30.
End of tape 5. End of tape 5.